Thanks for tuning in to Christian Medical and Dental Association's chapel. May the message be a blessing to you.
I'm starting, I don't know if you know it, I preach here usually every month, and I preach at our church every month, and I've decided to do a series on fruit of the Spirit, so you get to get the first fruit. I don't know which one of those, whether you want apples or kumquats or whatever, all that peaches, whatever else is in that picture. But I want to talk about the fruit of the Spirit, and the verse we're going to focus on, of course, is over in Galatians 5, 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And we have numerous places in the New Testament where the fruit of the Spirit is mentioned, and it's really something that the Lord wants us to strive for and have the Spirit work in our hearts to make these characteristics in our own lives. This morning, we're going to focus on gentleness. And it's easy to confuse gentleness with meekness. In fact, in many translations, they say meekness instead of gentleness. And meekness is often, you know, someone easily imposed upon. In our understanding of that word, somebody that's kind of little mousy and not very outgoing, and it's really not the word in the Greek. It's pros, and that means gentleness. And it's just one of the translations that is not as accurate as it should be. And so what is gentleness? A gentle person doesn't overreact. They're not driven by their own emotions. It's a good way to say it is that strength under control is gentleness. I'll say that again. Gentleness is strength under control. It doesn't mean that you're mamby-pamby, don't have a backbone. Gentleness has a different meaning. Probably a good example of it is taming a wild horse. What do you do when you tame a wild horse? You gentle it, right? It's still as strong as it always has been. You can ride it, but it's controlled strength now, and gentleness is that. God doesn't want us to be a doormat or be weak, doesn't want us to be overreacting, doesn't want us to be controlled by our emotions. There is strength in gentleness. And let's dig into that a little deeper, because there are benefits to gentleness, benefits that you'll see in a lot of areas of your life. And I'm going to go over 8 benefits of being a gentle man or a gentle woman according to the Scripture. Gentleness diffuses discord. Gentleness diffuses discord. That's a mouthful, isn't it? Over in Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. We tend to mimic the emotions of others, especially in your own family, but with friends and whatever. If somebody else is upset, it's easy for us to get upset. If somebody called this the mirror neurons in the brain, you tend to mimic others. If they're depressed, it's more likely you're going to get depressed. If you're pressured, you'll feel pressure. If they're energetic, you'll be energetic. We mimic those around us, and oftentimes that's where we get in trouble. If you raise the tone in your voice or raise your voice in anger, you're not controlling it. There's strength under control. Now, I'll tell my own failings. I was 2 days ago when I was working on the sermon, I took a break and I was changing light bulbs in our living room. And it's a high ceiling, I had to go get the tall ladder. And we had lights that were like 3,000 Kelvin, and I put in 5,000 brighter. We're getting older, we need brighter light. And I got up there and I saw some cobwebs up in the corner. You couldn't see them very well unless you're up on a ladder. So I get down, I couldn't reach them. I get down and I go into Jody and says, honey, where's that stick with the duster on it? And she said, well, it's in the cabinet where it always is. And I wasn't very gentle. I said, if I knew that, I wouldn't have asked you. If I knew where it was, I wouldn't have asked. Afterwards, I said, sorry, honey, I shouldn't have said that. But she got a little, she was a little snappy with me. I don't think she meant it. She was doing something and just said that, but where it always is. I'm like, well, okay, I guess I messed up. I didn't know where it always was. But anyway, that was me. I had to go back and apologize to her. There's another verse that talks about this in Proverbs 15:1. A kind answer soothes angry feelings, but harsh words stir them up. And we see that happening in our own lives. Or over in Ecclesiastes 10:4. Don't give up your job when your boss gets angry. If you stay calm, you'll be forgiven. Hey, you know, there's some practical information in the workplace, isn't it? A quiet, gentle spirit overcomes great mistakes, even if you are in the wrong. And somebody, I had experience of this soon after I came on my first board meeting at CMDA. And we were down in Texas. We had a lot of financial issues, a lot of things going on. And I was already, just a month and a half afterwards, I was at the board meeting and talking. And at that time, you had to meet with the executive committee. CMBD had never had board training. And then you got stuff through the executive committee, had taken the whole board. And I mentioned that I had contacted a group that helped you do fundraising I think they were in Oregon. And one of the surgeons, who's one of my dear friends now, Don Wood, jumped all over me. We can't afford doing that. What are you thinking? I never met the man till then. And you know what I almost said? I'm not your intern. And if you're in medicine, you know what that means. I didn't. I quietly explained it. And afterwards, he came up to me and said, I need to apologize. I wasn't treating you very nicely. But I didn't respond. He's one of my bosses. He became the president of CMDA, and we've been dear friends for many years. So don't get out of control even when other people do. Gentleness diffuses. Ralph Stockman said that nothing is so strong as gentleness, and nothing is so gentle as real strength. And here's one that I was amazed to find, this quote: in the long run, the sharpest weapon of all is a kind and gentle spirit. That's Anne Frank, who ended up losing her life and lived hidden with her parents for years. And she said, in the long run, the sharpest weapon of all is a kind and gentle spirit. Secondly, gentleness disarms critics. The more successful you are, the more criticism you will have. It's just the way the world is. It's one of the reasons I don't do social media. I stopped doing it. I never did it, and I didn't start it while I was here at CMDA. We had other people doing social media. But there's those online who have an addiction to anger and just jumping on people, and they're trying to hook you and start an argument and all that kind of thing, especially if you're the head of an organization and representing and dealing with political issues and bioethical issues and all that. But it also goes on in marriages like that. Some people don't feel good in their marriage till they get angry at the other person, the other spouse. It energizes them. And we need to be gentle in those areas. I got a lot of criticism when I said at CMDA, I found my name on Planned Parenthood site as an evil person who was against abortion, and they needed to not pay any attention to anything I said. Out speaking on physician-assisted suicide, Compassion and Choices, which used to be called the Hemlock Society, which was better representation of what they were. They sent people, when I go do things and meetings and stuff and speaking, they would send people in and they would jump up and criticize you and, you know, say nasty things. And just last week, I was coming back from Walmart. I don't know, maybe I cut this guy off. I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden I heard this horn beeping behind me, and I stopped at the next stop sign, and he had his fist out the window shaking it at me. You know, I thought about getting out and apologizing for what I didn't know I had done, but I decided it may be a little dangerous. We respond gently, then evil things are said about us. Titus 2:8 goes on and says this: your conversation should be so sensible that anyone who wants to argue with you will be ashamed. because they won't be able to criticize anything you say. It's interesting. I was reading on this, and one commentator said, you know, pastors are never allowed to argue. And I go, what's that mean? And he quoted 2 Timothy 2:24 and 25, and the Lord's servant must never quarrel. Instead, they must be kind and gentle with everyone. They must be able to teach effectively and be patient with difficult people. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to know the truth. Don't fight back with criticism. Don't take it personal. I have a tough skin and a tender heart. If you're doing nothing, you'll be criticized. If you're doing something, you may be criticized, and it may not be fair, but gentleness turns away critics. I thought, I like this picture. I learned that it's the weak who are cruel and that gentleness is to be expected only from the strong. I don't think I'll go hug that bear, but you get the message there. Gentleness is compelling. It's compelling. Proverbs 25, 15a, and we'll get to 15b. Gentleness speech breaks down rigid defenses. My first two summers in college, I sold books door to door with a Southwestern company. It's based in Nashville. No salary. It was all commission. And I still have on the wall in my office, if you go in there, my award, the gold award for working 75 hours a week. That was 6 days a week and a sales thing on Sunday afternoon. But you're going and knocking on people's doors who you don't know. In fact, they still sell Southwestern around here. We sold family Bibles and Bible commentaries and stuff. Now it's a lot of educational books. I've had their salesman come to our door. But I learned very quickly gentleness, because you are trying to be persuasive. And sometimes people shut the door in your face. Sometimes they say things that aren't very nice. They're not going to buy something if you're not gentle. And I learned a lot about that during that summer in dealing with people from all sorts of areas. Up in Illinois one summer and one summer in Pennsylvania. The typical, what do you think of a car salesman? They tend to be loud. They're determined to get the deal. They're trying to corral you. The more people do that to you, the less likely most people are to do what they want them to do. Isn't that true? And what do we now do? You see what your friends recommend or what the evaluations online are. It's a gentle speech which breaks down rigid defenses. Proverbs 25:15a. So want to convince others, nagging very seldom works. Screaming never works. A gentle, low tone and kindness does. In the Contemporary English Version, it says this: patience and gentle talk can convince a ruler and overcome any problem. And the rest of the verse says this: a wise, mature person is known for understanding. The more pleasant his words, the more persuasive he is. You're never persuasive when you're abrasive. You're never persuasive when you are abrasive. A Christian reveals true humility by showing the gentleness of Christ, by being always ready to help others, by speaking kind words and performing unselfish acts, which elevate and ennoble the most sacred message that has come into our words. Ellen White said that. Next, gentleness is attractive. Gentleness is attractive. Now, this is important stuff, because we're going to be, some of you are still single. Now, this is the key to finding the right mate, okay? I'm going to give you the key here, and it's also the key to having a good marriage after you found your mate. As a man of God, pursue what God approves of: godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. In dating and in relationships, you attract what you are. I'll say that again. You attract what you are. If you're a godly person, you're going to attract godly people. If you're a patient person, you're going to attract someone who's patient. Godliness attracts godliness. And for men, 1 Timothy 6:11, as a man of God, pursue what God approves of: godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. So God says, As a man of God, we should be that way. I know, I was thinking the other day, I had a wonder, my dad was an evangelist and on the road and just loved people and people loved him. I never remember my dad being ungentle to my mom. It may have happened and I've forgotten, but I don't think it would. The only thing I ever remember is my mom crying one time when we were out somewhere in a camp meeting, and I never knew what happened. Dad took her and they talked in the house and came back and everything was all right. Probably something that was going on where we were, but he was so gentle, and my mom was gentle, and that's important with children. We'll talk more about that, but it's even more important with your mate, and it's an example that we need to be setting. Someone said this, I find a calm man, this is a woman speaking, so attractive. I love the gentleness, a man who doesn't yell at me when he's upset, who brings me peace and eases my anxiety. I just want to feel calm and safe with you. So if you want to find a wonderful wife who loves you, be gentle. Gentleness is attractive. The story of Ruth really illustrates that. You remember the story? She was from another country. She was a non-Jew. She came back with her mother-in-law. And into a foreign culture, and they didn't have much resources, and she ended up gleaning in this field of Boaz. And the people, the servants wanted to throw her out, and Boaz came and said, no, no. And Ruth said this to Boaz afterwards, you are very kind to me, sir. You have made me feel better by speaking gently to me, even though I'm not the equal of one of your servants. And remember the rest of the story? They ended up getting married, and she's one of the two foreigners in the lineage of Christ. She's mentioned in Matthew on the lineage of Jesus Christ, and she was the great-grandmother of King David. So if Boaz hadn't been kind, you know what had happened? He would have been ruthless. Yeah, I thought you'd like that. Ruthless. He wouldn't have gotten his Ruth. Gentleness is attractive. 1 Peter 3:4, you should be known for the beauty that comes within, speaking to women, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. And the verse speaks to women in marriage disagreements, and you done counseling and stuff, and you can do all sorts of things. Give your husband the quiet treatment, or the boyfriend the quiet treatment, or be sullen or whatever, and gentleness, and it can be simple things, and how you, just the tone of your voice, but gentleness is attractive with your boyfriend or the guy that you hope will be your husband. I remember Jody when I was disciplining Jason, our oldest, and my son, and he was the rambunctious one. He was always the one getting in trouble, Jessica and Stacy very rarely did. And I remember Jody coming to me afterwards, and she said, honey, I think you're being just a little too stern with Jason. And she was right. I just had enough, and I let him have it, and verbally and some other things I did. And gentleness is attractive. Somebody said, I think gentleness is one of the most disarming and captivating attractive qualities there are. Women, if you want to be attractive and find the right man, gentleness is part of it. Now, men, I know that's harder for you, but I've found the secret, okay? I found the secret for you being gentle. Here it is. Gentle Grace Cologne. I guess if you're having problems in this area, you just put that on and everything goes great. I don't know. Well, there's more to it than that. Gentleness is the quickest way to improve your marriage and also your dating situation. Colossians 3:19 talks to husbands, love your wife and be gentle with them. Be gentle with them. Anyone can be a fool. Anybody can be rude. Anybody can be selfish. Anybody can be brass. It takes a real man to be gentle. That gentle strength that gives confidence to the woman you love or the woman you want to marry. Great marriages are the union of two great forgivers who are gentle with each other. Ephesians 6:4 talks about it with our children. Fathers, do not irritate and provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them to resentment. but rear them tenderly in the training and discipline and counsel of the Lord. You know, it's easy with your kids to set the standards so high that they can't meet them. You expect perfection, and kids are kids. And learning that the right tone, the right correction, the gentleness, not demanding perfection, discipline, yes, but with gentleness, building up and not tearing down is so important. Often parents can communicate most effectively with their children by the way they listen to and address each other. They're watching you. They're watching you. Their conversations showing gentleness and love are heard by our ever-alert, impressionable children. And you remember, they're going to mimic what they see, not only in their lives, but oftentimes in their marriages. I choose gentleness. Nothing is won by force. I choose to be gentle. If I raise my voice, may it only be in praise. If I clench my fist, may it only be in prayer. If I make a demand, may it only be on myself. Then gentleness earns respect. Proverbs 11:16. A woman of gentle grace will be respected. You think about this. Somebody that comes to mind is Mother Teresa. You know, she is about that tall, not even 5 feet. And a Romanian nun living in the India in the very difficult areas. But her gentleness and her love earned her respect around the world. She spoke before Congress here in the U.S. and went all over the world. It's respect comes to people who are gentle. It's also true in leadership. Bert and I have written a book on leadership, and this verse says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you, consider the outcome of their lives and imitate their faith. From one of our books, we said this: too often overlooked leadership qualities are gentleness and genuineness. Both are essential for leadership success. And you think of people who are like that. Abraham Lincoln, very gentle. When he brought the southern states back into the Union after the Civil War, and everybody just wanted to go down and do horrible things to the people they had fought. And Gandhi and Martin Luther King and George Washington was known for his gentleness. And then the Bible, King Jeroboam, you remember he was the son of Solomon. Solomon built this huge kingdom, all kinds of riches and enormous influence. And then his son Jeroboam took over, and the elders advised him when he came in as a young king, speak gently, serve the people, and meet their needs, and they will follow you anywhere. And then what happened? His buds, his pals, said, no, don't do that. Be tough, be hard, lay down the law, raise the taxes. Show them that you're tough and they'll have to respect you. And what happened? Israel split. 10 tribes went off and they never came back together, and lost the power of a nation. And it was because they didn't follow the gentleness. And a gentle leader is respected. That doesn't mean you don't have to deal with difficult situations, but you do it as gently as possible. If you have to tell people you're a leader, you aren't anyone. If you have to tell people you're a leader, you're not really a leader. You're just taking a walk by yourself. And gentleness is a huge part of that, and something that we need to mimic in our own departments and where we work and in our families. Let me go on to the next one. Gentleness is a witness. We're going to stop here. We may have to finish this up next time around. Titus 3:2. A believer should never speak evil of anyone, nor be quarrelsome. Instead, they should be gentle and show courtesy to everyone. When you respond to stress with gentleness, it's a witness to other people. Can disagree, but you can't malign, you can't have personal attacks, you can't be quarrelsome. And that there's so much of this going on in our country. I mean, you know, you're not the right political party, or you're not the right religion, or you don't go to the denomination I go to, and all sorts of things that can cause discord. And there's not a witness in that. In fact, I think you need to have as many non-Christian friends from all different backgrounds, from Muslim to gay to Mormon to liberal to left-wing to right-wing. I heard one preacher said, I'm not left-wing or right-wing, I'm for the whole bird. And you know, because he knew that was a dividing thing in his church if he took a stand and started speaking out. That didn't mean you talk about issues, but identifying yourself. And we were very careful, Gene and I and others, and as we're speaking out, you know, we have our position, but we're not wholly endorsing any group. No matter which party you're for, they're not perfect. Did you know that? They're not perfect. And you're going to find one that's more in line with what you want to see happen. But treating people with respect, not compromising, and that type of thing. And 1 Peter 3:4 talks about that. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason of your hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. And gentleness is a witness that people will listen to you because they see your love, they know you care, and it makes a huge difference in their lives. Let's pray God's going to help. We'll get into a few more of these next time around. But gentleness is, I've dug into this deep in the last week or so, and it's been a blessing to me, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Think about it. How can I be more gentle? How can I be a better witness? How can I have more respect with others? Where do I need to measure up to what God wants us to do? Let's pray as we finish. Dear Heavenly Father, help us to be gentle people. May it be a fruit of our spirits in every one of our relationships. And here in our workplace, gentleness is the oil in our relationships, and it's our witness before others. Thank you for modeling it to us, and we give you praise in your Son's name. Amen.